Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
I'm joined now by Paul Moyne, a professor of immunology at Maynooth University, who is listening to that report from John Cook in Athlone. Professor Moyne, you're very welcome to the programme. You might be concerned, like the rest of us, listening to that, a probable outbreak in Athlone after Riverside socialising. We know that the Delta variant of the virus is more transmissible, but I wonder, is it now transmissible much more outdoors than the previous variants?
Yeah, good evening, Cormac. It's difficult to say, Cormac. We certainly know that the Delta variant does transmit better. Just as a reference, if you look at the form of the virus that we were encountering around this time last year, it's R0 value. So that's the, if I was infected, the number of people on average that I would be expected to pass the infection on to was around 3, maybe a little bit higher. Probably estimates for this one is probably between 6 and 8. So it's about a doubling. So it's even more than the UK or the Alpha variant. So certainly it transmits better. Does it transmit better outside? We certainly know that the risk of outdoor transmission is much, much, much lower than indoor transmission. That I would say that relationship still applies to the Delta variant as well. Does it transmit really well outside? I would say unlikely to be the case. It doesn't mean it can't happen. Like with the other variants, outdoor transmission can happen, but at a much greatly reduced rate relative to indoor transmission.
How much data do we have on that? Because I think it's almost taken, the advice is from government, is to summer outdoors as much as possible. It's the safest way to be while observing social distancing and whatever distancing applies to hospitality outdoors and so on. But in a way, some people take it as a given that if you're outdoors, you're safe. Is that the rule of thumb?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's much safer outside relative to indoors. I think there was a case, what maybe prompted some of this discussion as well, I think there was a case down in Australia, in Sydney, where there was two cases of the Delta variant, and these two individuals were observed on CCTV just to pass each other outside. And then suddenly that became sort of evidence for that there was outdoor transmission, which, again, I'm not sure we'd need much more stronger evidence than that. So far, and, you know, we're about a year and a half into this pandemic, if you look at all of the published reports, while outdoor transmission can happen, in terms of super spreading events, to my knowledge, and there's been over 100,000, probably 150,000 publications at this stage, I haven't seen any publications that have attributed solely super spreading events that have been solely attributed to outdoor transmission. So that's good. Good sign, at least.
Well, let's talk about indoors then, Paul, will we? Because a COVID advisor to the National College of General Practitioners, Dr. Mary Favier, has said that on RTÉ this morning, was saying that the reopening of indoor dining on July the 5th, which is mere weeks away, could be a recipe for problems, she said. A lot of unvaccinated young people working in congested environments. I mean, should this go ahead then if it's such a risk?
I think it's always a balance, but I think the big difference where we are at now relative to December is in terms of the rollout of the vaccine programme. Like, we've got a significant percentage at least vaccinated with a first dose, and many vaccinated with two doses. So that gives us some protection. I think that's really, really important. That is the main
limited protection,
against
Delta, against isn't that right, Paul?
Yes, well, limited, and that emphasised and should need to be highlighted in terms of the need to vaccinate and for people to get two doses as quickly as possible. And those who've been vaccinated with the AstraZeneca, there has been some discussion in terms of whether they should perhaps get, you know, an RNA vaccine as their second dose, which I think would be a good thing. And one other cohort I think that should be highlighted is, I'm including this cohort myself, those who've been vaccinated, for example, with Johnson & Johnson. Johnson & Johnson is very similar to AstraZeneca, and even though that is a single dose, the protection that you're likely to get from that is probably going to be similar to a single dose AstraZeneca. So I think that's a cohort that we're likely to be revisiting at some stage in terms of the need for a second dose.
You think they should be prioritised?
I think so, Cormac. I think that, now again, it hasn't really been discussed in detail as of yet, but I wouldn't be surprised. I would expect that at some stage, and you know, trials are currently ongoing, but the protection you get with a single dose of Johnson & Johnson would be similar to the AstraZeneca. Also, it protects us really good against very severe illness. It does protect us as well against infection, symptomatic infection, but not as much as it protects us against serious illness. So I think at some stage we will be revisiting that.
Well, if that were the need. Sorry to cut across you, Paul, but if that were to be the case, given the finite nature of the supply of vaccine, the younger age cohort, people in their teens and 20s and 30s, would be further delayed, would they not? And that is the group, correct me if I'm wrong, late teens and in their 20s, where the virus is growing the quickest.
So that's right. If you look at the numbers there, the 19 to 24-year-olds, that's where the biggest numbers are present. The good thing, if there is a positive thing about this, Cormac, is if you look at it, you decrease in age, obviously the risk of serious COVID decreases significantly. So whilst you can't completely break that link between infection and serious illness and hospitalisation, that link is significantly decreased as you go into younger age groups.
But if that message were to take hold, and we saw that was partly the reason in Limerick why there was a significant surge in COVID cases and why there were special organisation of events in terms of testing and tracing and public health messaging and so on put in place in Limerick to deal with that surge. I think public health officials were saying that the younger age cohort had adhered to the public health messages for a year and a half, and now once the vulnerable and the older age group were vaccinated, they felt, okay, statistically I have a low chance of having a very bad dose of COVID-19, so let's try and live life normally. Is there a danger in getting that message across
Cormac, I think to a degree is to be expected in terms of maybe young people are looking at their risk in terms of developing severe COVID, and maybe they're making decisions based on that, and the fact that this has been going on for so long. So certainly that is a risk, and the message needs to go out there that the virus is still around and this more transmissible form is still around. So we still need to be very cautious about that. And even though if it were a situation, if the numbers were to get really, really high, even though the number of young people who would end up seriously ill in hospital is quite a low percentage, mm-hmm. but if those numbers are very high, again, a small percentage of a big number is still quite a significant number. So the message still needs to go out there that we need to be cautious.
A quick word from me, if you don't mind, on international travel, which is set to resume on July 19th. Now, given the concern around the Delta variant, should that go ahead as planned, in your opinion?
I think probably, Cormac, I would say yes. The reason why I say that is we already have the variant. Our estimates now are it's about 20% of what we have at the moment, and that's probably an underestimate, I would say, at this stage. So inevitably, I would say we're probably going to go like the UK, where this will become the dominant one, and the dominant one over the coming weeks and months. So I think probably the best we can do is in terms of what we're proposing with the EU digital COVID cert, in terms of those who are vaccinated, you know, making sure that people are coming in negatively tested, or if you can show proof that you've previously been infected but are protected. So I think that's probably the best we can do at this stage.
Okay, look, we'll leave it there for the moment. Professor of Immunology at the University of Maynooth, Paul Moynagh, thank you very much indeed. We'll take a break.